Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. When my son, John, was a first grader, he had this homework assignment where we had to find all these different seeds and tape them to a piece of paper. It's that homework that's not really for the child, it's for the parent. And I remember this assignment really well because it was one of those horrible parenting moments from me, because I forgot totally. We were doing it at the last minute, scrambling before bed to try to find the right kind of seeds in the cupboard, and I could not find any mustard seed. It's not something we cook with, apparently. And so I had to use the mustard powder and just convince him that that was going to be good enough, which is hard to do with an anxious first grader about his homework. But I remember that, I think, so well, because it was a moment that I just kind of felt like I was not enough. I wasn't doing enough or getting it right. And I associate it with this parable, too, because especially in Luke's version of this parable, kind of makes me feel the same way. I'm right there with the disciples. You know, they've been learning a lot. They have been asked to teach. They've been asked to heal. They have been told to give away their possessions and to take up the cross and to forgive others over and over again. And they come to Jesus, and it's not a surprise that they may feel inadequate to these tasks, that they say, "Jesus, increase our faith," because we're not so sure we're up to all the challenges that you are asking us to do. And as I thought about that and reflect after the week that we had as a nation, with more shootings, more injustice in our town, with some threats, credible or not, still scary, against one of our high schools, and in our congregation saying goodbye to three beloved people upon their death, I suspect that many of us may feel like this too. Like we need more faith just to get through, let alone make any kind of difference in the world. Now, Jesus' response to the disciples, I will tell you, I'm not real in love with. That's not how I tend to think of responding to people asking for help. When I think of needing faith increased, I'm certainly not really actually that concerned about whether I can move a mulberry bush and replant it into the sea. I'm thinking more about, along the lines of patience or memory, actually remembering to read the whole email from the school, perhaps. Having strength to care for other people, forgiving myself for where I fail and forgiving others over and over again. And the example that follows talking about a mustard seed is not so much better, because it is difficult for us to really understand what Jesus is talking about with the slaves coming into from the field and whether they sit at the table or whether they serve, because that's not the world that we currently live in. And because when we hear words about slavery, we immediately go into the history of our country. We go into thoughts about justice and our concerns for freedom from prejudice and hatred for all people. And Jesus here he's not making a comment about justice. He's not commenting on the system in this particular passage. He is explaining how the regular work of a servant is enough. And so this is where it becomes really helpful to know Greek, and where it becomes really helpful to know people smarter than you who know Greek even better and where they post it on their website. So I can't take credit for this, but I am going to give a little grammar lesson here in Greek. So in Greek, there is something called a future conditional clause. So that means that we would read this about the mustard seed in this way: if you were to have the faith of a mustard seed, implying that you don't have that faith, implying that that is something that is not now, it's in the future, that maybe you'll get it, okay? And this way of reading it, which is actually the way that I naturally, and I think others naturally hear it, is more of the way of Jesus admonishing or, you know, putting the disciples in their place. Now, there's another kind of grammatical clause that is called the present reality conditional clause, which is like it sounds. It's about the here and now. And that's what the verb tense of this story actually is. And so it would read, meaning, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and you do. That is the present reality now. You have this faith that you need. That changes kind of the whole thing, the whole way that this parable goes. It's more like we're saying, Jesus, this whole life thing is tricky. It's getting kind of hard to walk as a Christian in this crazy world. And I only have this much faith. And Jesus saying, well, that's great. That is enough. You are enough. In this light, we can read the story of the servants doing their duty not as a comment about our self-worth, but as an encouragement and a reality check of what we do each day. Because here's the thing, the servants, they aren't invited to the table with the landowner, and they do eat later after the work is done. They are not thanked for the work that they do, they just do it. And in this way, Jesus seems to be saying that this is what faith is like, the willingness to do what needs to be done. In other words, faith isn't some big, mighty act. It's not this really rare resource that we only get a little bit of and we have to save it up and only spend it in one way. Faith isn't always a heroic thing. In fact, it usually isn't. It's usually more simple than that, more humbly done, doing what needs to be done, small or big, mundane or great, just because it needs doing. And this is not new for Jesus in talking about faith. He names as faithful the woman who reaches out and touches his robe and is healed. He names as faithful the leper who, the Samaritan leper, who turns around and thanks him for the healing that he has received. He names faithful the centurion who is so concerned for his sick servant that he brings him to Jesus. So here in Luke, it's not a scolding them for not having the tiniest amount of faith. Instead, he is affirming them for the faith that they do have, because they already have it, and they can do what Jesus is calling them to do. Faith, then, is not just about big things happening from heaven, but it's how we live each day in the ordinary, how we respond to the needs of others, and how we care for those around us. So I'm talking about the simplest of things. In our confirmation program, sixth graders are visited in their home during the fall of their first year. And we have conversation about what confirmation means. And we have a contract at the end where we ask the student, the parent, and then the congregation, represented by the pastor and the youth minister, to say what they are going to bring to this experience of faith education. And we ask for and expect things from the student like, I'll show up, have a good attitude, participate, maybe ask questions. From the parents, well, I'll drive them. They are 11 and 12. They need a little help getting there. I will pray for them. I'll ask them the questions they're doing and make sure I participate how I can. And from the side of the congregation, that we will be available, that we'll create some educational experiences, that we'll pray for them. The simplest ways of engaging. And even beyond that, this is not just about faith education or dwelling in scripture. It's also about showing up and living that out. So things like going to work and doing the best that you can, listening when someone needs to talk, sitting with a lonely kid in the cafeteria during lunch, bringing in that extra can of food that you have, voting even in a field of candidates that might seem discouraging, balancing the books for your business or for a group, writing a thank you note, making dinner for those who live in your home, praying for your neighbor who's having a hard time. All of these things, I am willing to guess that you have done something for someone else this week. And there are some pieces of paper, cards, and pencils throughout the pews, and I just want you to take one moment. You're not going to have to read it aloud or share it with anyone. Write one word or one sentence about something you did for someone else this week. Just take one moment to do that. I promise you won't have to share it. And when you have that written down, go ahead and hold up the card and look around. It's just a visual exercise. Give you a few more moments. You can even just hold up your hand if you know you did something for someone else this week. Changing a diaper counts. Driving a teenager somewhere counts. Helping your little brother counts. And look around, okay, at all of these cards. Some things that I know happened this week are that my daughter and her friend made dinner Tuesday night, and it was beautiful, gave us a night off. There were hundreds of people over the last 2 days that showed up to support those who had lost loved ones. They brought themselves, they brought food, they brought their prayers. They stayed and set up chairs and tables and moved things around to care for and make it easier on those that were coming. I know that some of our high schoolers did actually go sit with that lonely kid in the cafeteria and took a step towards creating community and breaking away from isolation. Now put the cards down, some of you already have, and look around again. What if none of these things happened this week? None of the things you wrote down, or your neighbors, or the things that I listed. What would that have been like? And what if we all think about how those simple acts multiply? And think about two things that we may do this coming week, small things that could make a difference, that may seem really unimportant, but actually move us into and towards living out our faith. This faith that has been gifted to us, this faith that's a gift, no matter how we measure it or try to quantify something that's not really quantifiable, it's a gift from God. From Jesus, who promises that these small things are enough. When we go through an experience of loss, when we're concerned about the turmoil of an election season, when we read headlines of more shootings, when there are threats at a high school, it can cloud our vision, it can close us down, and we might forget. We might forget that these things on our cards, the things in our hearts, the things that we're thinking about in our minds matter. But they do. They matter because they are signs of hope. They have a chance not just to change what we think and what we say and how we act, but to change and influence those who are around us. They have a chance to give a different message, that there is light, that there is not only darkness, and that the darkness cannot overcome this light from Christ. They matter because they are blessed by God and held by God. They matter because as we care for one another, and even and especially through very simple, ordinary acts of service, we are walking in that faith, and we are enough. Amen.